right, welcome back to the Nexus podcast, the second one of the year. Juan Piacquadio, the CIO of Flow Corporation, a leading pharmaceutical company, is my guest today. Juan is leading Flow's efforts around the digitization of pharma and incorporating that into the development of life-saving medicines. This whole movement industry-wide is known as Pharma 4.0, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Juan has been a steady contributor to the Nexus website, and I encourage you to read his content. Himself and colleague Tim Hall, they've written a few blogs on securing and optimizing critical OT processes, vulnerability management. It's been great stuff since day one, so check it out on the site. The podcast today is going to be a pretty important discussion on these initiatives that definitely go beyond just the pharmaceutical industry and apply to the management and advancement of cyber-physical system security in many other industries. So this is something I'm excited for. Before I bring in Juan, again, I just want to thank everyone for their support in 2023 for the podcast. We've grown a lot, and it's truly appreciated. So if you're listening and haven't subscribed yet, please do. It's the best way to keep the show and, of course, not miss any of the guests I've got lined up. All right, so let's get going and bring in Juan. How are you, sir? It's good to talk to you. How are you doing?
Hello, Michael. How are you? Thank you for having me. I'm doing great. I'm very excited about continuing contributing to Clarity content.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I hope it's fun for you. I know that it's being well received and people love what you guys are writing about. And I'm glad we have a chance to have this discussion today because I know it's something that you brought up to me. And, you know, just give me a sense of, you know, how much this is happening. I know you guys are kind of at the forefront of a lot of these initiatives, but, you know, kind of bring me inside Pharma 4.0. What does it mean to you? What is it?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I mean, there is a lot of hype, right, on what Industry 4.0 means. And, you know, Pharma 4.0 is actually Industry 4.0 applied to pharma. And it is transformative. A lot of people, you know, think about standard manufacturing practices, right? And they can think about, you know, robotics pretty much like you can see in the car manufacturing industry. But that's not the case in pharma. So there are three major areas I think that will have a significant impact in pharma, which are artificial intelligence and machine learning, and augmented reality or virtual reality, and digital twins, and you know, a combination of these technologies that is really reshaping the way that pharmaceutical companies research, develop, manufacture, and deliver medications. Right. So by combining, right, I mean, you know, physical processes, machinery, operations with, you know, these advanced digital technologies, right? So focusing on connectivity, automation, and data-driven decision-making.
And so the advantage here in this specific application of all those technologies, is it strictly a competitive edge? Is it bringing medicine to market faster? Or are there better decisions made about the quality of care, et cetera? What's your thought there?
You know, that's a great question. So I would say probably the ability of the pharma industry to operate more efficiently, right? So producing higher quality products at a lower price, responding faster to rapidly evolving market demands, right? And of course, remain competitive in a rapidly evolving industry. I mean, you know, the U.S. manufacturing industry is competing against lower cost manufacturing. So quality is a major factor still, but but you know, the implementation of newer technologies will make our pharmaceutical industry more competitive.
Is this for everyone right now? I mean, is there a certain maturity that has to be in place before a company such as yourself can take this on? What has to be in place from everything from people to technology before that this is viable? Because otherwise, I'm pretty sure it could go south in a hurry.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So there are many factors to take into consideration. So, of course, the preparation of I mean, what we call the science technology of pharma, right? So also the digital ecosystem, right? That can seamlessly and frictionless integrate these newer technologies. Then, of course, the need for upskilling and reskilling the workforce, right? So absolutely critical. Also, all of this comes with a change in organizational culture, right? So, you know, people tend to be resistant to change for everything that Industry 4.0 represents when it comes to shifting the whole workforce landscape, right? So how their jobs will be affected, right? So there is resistance there. There is a need to really, take into consideration organizational culture to ensure the proper rate of adoption of these technologies, right? So, the whole governance, risk, compliance, cybersecurity, right? So, because as you well know, we are going to be seriously extended. We are seriously extended our cybersecurity surface, right? So, we are bringing in new potential vulnerabilities, right? So we are over-relying in technology. We are also extending our digital ecosystems to third parties, right, that provide critical services. So all of this has to be properly taken into consideration and properly managed.
You mentioned there, and I want to get back to the cybersecurity discussion in a few minutes, but you mentioned, you know, there's going to be some tension in terms of people, you know, jobs may be changing, roles, et cetera. Is this a place where leadership buys in from the beginning, or was there a lot of work in terms of getting leadership buy-in?
Leadership, I would say, firm leadership understands the needs for implementing these technologies, right? So, and I think that it is clear that implement these technologies, or we will lose. We will not be competitive in the mid to long term, right? So Industry 4.0 or Pharma 4.0, I mean, is a reality. So companies are currently making significant progress in this space. And the rapid adoption of these technologies will actually ensure that we remain competitive, right? So also the ability of companies not only to develop competitive advantage, but also to even develop some market differentiator, right? By bringing new products and services to the market with extended features and capabilities and capacities, is absolutely critical. So there is definitely a consensus that this is a need. There is also a lot of concern about how this will affect basically processes, systems, right? So the way we conduct businesses, right? So, and also how it will affect patients in the process as well, right? So, because we are pharma, right? So, of course, basically, as we mentioned already, the impact to the workforce, right? I mean, the need to really upskill, reskill the workforce, the need to develop new competencies, right? So, because a number of jobs will actually, or a number of, skills will not be needed, will be no longer needed, but a number of other new skills will be critical to not only to implement, but also to implement in a sustainable manner, right?
Can you kind of take me through each of those three in terms of like where are you seeing, for example, digital twins applied? How is AI kind of influencing what you're doing? Is it on the generative AI side? Is it something else? Augmented reality, I think that's a fascinating application of this as well. How does that apply within pharmaceutical? Maybe take us through each of the three from a high level.
Yeah, sure. AI and ML in pharma, will involve, you know, of course, implementation of advanced algorithm, right, and data sets, right? So, and it will have an impact on the development of drugs, right? The development of drug manufacturing processes, and of course, in the production process itself, right? And the distribution of drugs, right? So it will. So we're talking about implications in the lab. We're talking about implications basically to the manufacturing floor and also to the supply chain, right? So AI and ML basically will help us to, or it is helping us to predict equipment maintenance needs, right? Preventing breakdowns and ensuring basically continuous pharmaceutical manufacturing, right? So we'll actually empower basically researchers to make data-driven decisions, right? So improving production processes, and also will contribute to reduce in waste, right, and energy consumption, because the whole research and development processes and the manufacturing processes and the supply chain process will become more efficient, right? So, or are becoming more efficient. So AI will also enable simulations to optimize drug formulations, so enhancing drug stability and improving drug efficiency and patient safety as well, right? So when it comes to digital twins, so digital twins, basically we're talking about the implementation of real-time replicas that actually were combined with the physical world, right? So we'll actually provide mirrors to physical entities, right? So with the goal of improving in the pharma space, improving drug manufacturing research and development processes and manufacturing practices as well, right? So we're talking here about enabling continuous real-time monitoring and analysis of manufacturing processes and equipment to identify potential issues, inefficiencies, or deviations in near real time, right? With the use of or combining other technologies like the Internet of Things and operational technologies, right? Or industrial control systems, etc., right? So enabling the immediate corrective actions, right? So we'll also provide the ability to really focus on predictive maintenance, right? So ensuring that the equipment, a better utilization of equipment, that the equipment don't break, and increasing our ability to plan, right? Maintenance, schedule maintenance, right? So additionally to that, will enable quality to have a better understanding of what's going on in the manufacturing process from an end-to-end standpoint, to ensure that products will meet regulatory requirements and quality standards. And of course, we'll also create, I would say, kind of an experimental playground for process innovation in the lab, right, by using virtual models to test new drugs, new manufacturing processes, new workflows, new equipment configuration, minimizing risk and maximizing efficiency, right? So by simulating scenarios and providing the ability to assess and mitigate risk in a much more controlled and safer environment, right, before there is an impact to physical processes. So when it comes to augmented reality, augmented reality will have an impact in quality control and productivity, right? By focusing in two major areas, I would say, right? So one is the training, right? So on-the-job training, right? So additionally to that, basically the supporting functions for the people in the field, right? By providing contextual information, right? Including equipment work instructions and reduce the time needed to perform tasks, right? Increasing overall productivity and also the ability to better support and maintain equipment, right? So by providing the ability for remote experts to guide on-site technicians or people in the field through equipment maintenance and troubleshooting, reducing downtime, and minimizing interruption, etc. Right. So I would say that those are the major impacts when it comes to the implementation of these technologies. So the impacts are huge and they have significant impact on quality and cost, and also improvement in safety. Right.
You know, thank you for sharing all that, because as you're speaking, I mean, obviously, a lot of this is specific to you, to pharma, as you described it. But I can see this at these applications across many industries.
Absolutely. And there is one more item, Michael, that you kind of touched on in a previous question, that is basically all of these, like AI and ML, also apply to the cybersecurity controls needed to really continue enabling the manufacturing and the research and development and the supply chain business functions, right? So by implementing, of course, artificial intelligence and machine learning to cybersecurity, right? And to compliance and regulatory reporting.
So Juan, just kind of to wrap up this section of the conversation, just you described a lot of processes that make sense to move to these environments. Are there some that just don't make sense, that the status quo kind of just fits and works for today and tomorrow?
You know, that's a real question, Michael. I would say that Industry 4.0 is not a plug-in, a silver bullet, kind of a work for all set of technologies. So Pharma 4.0 and Industry 4.0 are a set of technologies that have to be properly understood. Environments have to be properly architected and designed. A new technology integration process has to be developed, right? So a cultural process. And I think that there will be a number of business functions or activities that will not be impacted, but again, I think that that these decisions have to be made on a one-to-one basis. Also, it will make sense for a number of organizations to implement some technologies and enable some business functions, and maybe for other organizations not to do it, right? So I think that it depends on a number of factors, right? It depends on business processes, depends on systems, depends on digital ecosystems, depends on partners, also on the ability of the workforce to really basically transition, right, to these new digital technologies, right? So, and everything has to be, I mean, it's definitely not a one-time fit all, and it's not, and implementations cannot happen kind of in a big bang kind of approach, right? So, I think that the implementations and the transformation of these processes or business functions have to be carefully planned and evaluated on a one-to-one basis. I know it was kind of a long-winded question, but I hope it makes sense.
No, it does make sense. And I probably should ask one more about this in terms of the impact on the workforce. You mentioned the changes in jobs and skills that will be required. obviously this is going to change hiring practices down the road, but I mean, are there skills that are going to be required in the short term? Are there skills that are going to be obsolete moving forward? Are you anticipating pushback from the workforce? Just kind of give me some insight there.
Yeah, so, you know, of course, the impact of pharma 4.0 on the workforce comes with both positive and negative aspects, right? So it really brings a number of opportunities for skill development, efficiency gain, and drive a culture of innovation. But also, we need to take into consideration that there are challenges related to job displacement, skill gaps, and resistant to change, and even ethical considerations, right? So the successful implementation or adoption of these technologies will depend on a proactive workforce planning, education and training, and the development of a supportive work environment, right? So when it comes to skills, I would say that a major skill needed to support this transition or this transformation will be adaptability, right? So the capacity of the workforce to adapt to rapid technology changes, right? So and learn new skills as technology evolves, right? So communication skills, right? So communication is super critical. I would say multidimensional communication. We're not just talking about communicating the changes to the organization, but we're also talking about developing communication channels for the workforce to really bring up their concerns, right? So and for these concerns to be properly channeled and properly addressed, right? So, of course, a critical skill will be data analytics. I mean, we're going to move from, organizations have been trying for many, many years to really drive, I would say, data-driven decision-making process, right? So, well, as we delve into these technologies or we deep dive into these technologies, I mean, this will be more of a reality, right? So then, the ability of the organization employees to understand data and make decisions based on data, right? So and leverage artificial intelligence and machine learning, so to facilitate also or to improve the decision making process, absolutely critical, right? So of course, we will see a proliferation of sensors, right, all over the place. I mean, we have already implemented a number of sensors in our organization, and we are using actually Clarity to protect our industrial control systems and operation technology extended platform, right? So, proliferation of the Internet of Things, right, to really access all of this data, right, where the data points are being generated, right, and enable a near real time decision making process, right. So, and of course, problem solving and critical thinking skills, right. So, the ability to collaborate interdisciplinarily, right? So will also be critical. There are many we're gonna be moving more and more into a digitally enabled world, right? And these new skills will be critical, right? So skills that will become obsolete, right? So will become typically I would say routine administrative tasks. Routine lab and manufacturing tasks, right? So anything that can be easily replicated, packaged, and automate through an intelligent system will go that way, right? So system maintenance and support, so will be probably not needed anymore, right? Or needed less because it will be fully automated, right? So I think that we're going to go from seeing narrow specializations to more generalization, right? So people working across boundaries because the specialization will be provided by the different technologies, right? So and the ability to understand the data and to collaborate across different areas will be absolutely critical. And I think that that's where we're going to see the major changes.
All right. So let's spend some time on the cybersecurity story part of this. And as you mentioned, you know, you're significantly expanding the attack surface with the introduction of all of these new technologies and different processes. And that's kind of the trade-off that comes with innovation and the introduction of new technologies. Just kind of bring me inside from your position. How does this change your day-to-day from a risk perspective? You talk about where some of the new risks are being introduced and how that attack surface is being expanded, because I'm sure that that's something that's being given great consideration as well.
Yeah. First, we have to take into consideration that the integration of these new digital technologies will require the architecture and design of digital ecosystems with built-in security, right? So security cannot be a bolt-in anymore, right? So an afterthought, it has to be built in within the new digital ecosystems, right? So and when it comes basically to daily concerns, as you mentioned, or daily operations, so I would say that this requires a daily commitment to cybersecurity measures, right? To ongoing risk assessments, right? And of course, proactive efforts to mitigate potential threats, right? So it's always critical to keep a balance between innovation and security, right? To ensure that, you know, critical systems remain protected, patient data is protected, right? So this is becoming a dynamic and rapidly evolving technology landscape, and it is important to take into consideration that cybersecurity will play an ever more critical role as we expand our surfaces.
You mentioned that security just can't be a bolt-on kind of feature anymore. That it has to be built in. How far behind are the vendors of these technologies, the suppliers, in terms of cybersecurity? I would imagine it's going to have to be a bolt-on for a little while.
Yeah, well, we need to take into consideration that the implementation of these technologies, Industry 4.0, although a number of these discrete technologies is not new, so it has rapidly evolved. I mean, we have seen explosive growth in artificial intelligence later, right? So in the last few months, actually. So we need to take into consideration that a lot of these technologies have been around for some time, but they have significantly advanced in the last few months. Additionally to that, the way we're implementing or the way we're planning to use them in integrated digital ecosystem has also changed. So I would say probably cybersecurity technologies and processes are a little bit behind. They are not probably as behind as compliance and regulatory requirements at this point, right? Mm-hmm. So which kind of makes sense. But I think that we are going through a very, very complex landscape at this point when it comes to how we are enabling organizations and our ability to protect these organizations, because it's not just that we are increasing our surface, our digital surface, and we are also bringing in new potential vulnerabilities with the implementation of these technologies, right? So additionally to that, we need to take into consideration that malicious actors do have access to these technologies, right? So then we will see new vectors of attack that we have not seen before. We're going to see that the evolution of these attacks happen in a fraction of time of basically of what it happened before. Like, you know, I have had the opportunity to face attacks. And, you know, if I learn something, is that time is of the essence. A rapid action and will always be the best course of action, right? So, and will keep you safe. So, and we will see that that the whole paradigm will shift when it will come to these new vectors of attacks, right? And to mm-hmm. how malicious actors operate. So we need to also take into consideration that as we implement these technologies, there is an over-reliance on technology right now, right? So which basically may reduce human oversight, right? And potentially increase vulnerabilities that we may not see or we may not perceive, right? Or we may fail to properly address in a timely fashion. So we need to take into consideration that integration of these technologies is complex, right? And also, we need to be careful because over the years, there have been a decentralization of the implementation of technologies in the corporate world, right? So, you know, and this has been, you know, I mean, this has been changing over the years, right? So, with the ability to consume services, over the internet, etc., right? So there has been a decentralization of budget and a decentralization of how organizations acquire and implement technology. And I think there is a need to provide some much needed oversight, right, to make sure that. That technologies properly integrate with existing digital ecosystems to make sure that technologies go through a new technology introduction process in which they are properly evaluated and validated, right? From not just from a technology integration standpoint, right, compatibility standpoint, but also from a security standpoint as well. We need to take into consideration that we are going to be over-relying on third parties, right, and then that will significantly extend our surface of attacks, right, to our partners, right. So which basically means that now they need to collaborate and work closely with our partners will be critical, right? And they need to properly identify our strategic partners will be critical as well. So, mm-hmm. You know, all of these things have to be taken into consideration. And then, of course, to go back to your question, I think that I kind of went through a very long answer, but my point here being that it is a new world in which we're changing the way we do things, right? So and all of this requires a review on how cybersecurity controls are implemented, and of course it requires the development of new cybersecurity controls as well.
I'm curious, from an attacker's point of view, what are some of the threats you envision? Because obviously you're working in an industry that's very heavy in valuable, extraordinarily valuable intellectual property. But attacks have to be worth the investment for the attacker as well. And I don't know how much of this is within their reach yet. So I'm just curious, what are some of the threats you envision as this evolves and moves forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So we need to take into consideration, right, the motivation always when it comes to malicious actors, right? Hackers can be state sponsored actors, and in that case, basically, the motivation is basically to serve their mission, right? So, or they can be just cyber criminals, right? In which case, they're going to be motivated by making money, right? By impacting an organization in such a way that the organization will have to pay to recover, or even they can be actually you know, corporate driven malicious actors, in which case, you know, eliminating the competition or basically affecting the competition is the main thing that they want to achieve, right? In which case, there are many things to take into consideration. I mean, when we're talking about artificial intelligence and machine learning, as we rely more and more on these paradigms, basically to develop new drugs and to develop new manufacturing drug processes, or to enable digital robots right in the manufacturing floor. So we need to take into consideration the impact of data poisoning, right, to these models, right? So and how that will affect an organization's ability to manufacture or to develop new drugs or new drug manufacturing process, right? So intellectual property theft, I mean, a lot of this data will find its way to into the cloud, right? So how are we protecting the cloud? How are we taking that into consideration? So right now, for example, you know, there is a need to have a new policies, right, created on how we are using tools like ChatGPT, right, or Copilot, right. So you cannot prevent people from leveraging these technologies, right. So, but again, I mean, how do you use them? So is a critical factor, right? So there are issues regarding to data quality, as we discussed before, right, and the reliability of the data quality, right. So, and of course, the dependency on technology solves a lot of problems, right? The implementation of technology solves a lot of problems, but the dependency on technology can actually open new problems as well, right? So,
what do you envision in terms of security priorities strategically? I mean, are you concerned more about unauthorized access, or is it securing data itself? Is it constant monitoring? The answer is probably all of the above, but I mean, is there a way, should organizations be prioritizing one over the other?
I would say all of the above. Again, it all depends on the data that organizations have, right? So when we're talking about highly regulated data, it's one thing. When we're talking about intellectual property, it's a different thing, right? So, but of course, protecting data is absolutely critical. Protecting data is also difficult, right? So, I mean, you have to protect data from, you know, the moment data is created, transmitted, processed, stored, and then of course you have to take into consideration when data becomes obsolete and then it gets decommissioned and destroyed, etc. Right? So, and you have to manage it through the whole process, and you have to take into consideration how data flows through your systems, where it goes, right? So, what is what are your source of truth, etc., etc. So, data retention, right? So there are a number of things to take into consideration when it comes to protecting data. And of course, it's absolutely critical protecting the assets of the organization to ensure a business continuity, right, is absolutely critical as well, right? So, you know, understanding the in and outs of the systems, I mean, how systems are accessed, right? So when I'm talking about systems, people typically tend to think software, right? So, but I'm talking about also manufacturing systems. I'm talking about, as we mentioned before, the proliferation of the Internet of Things, the Internet of Manufacturing Things, or the extended Internet of Things, right? So the sensors, right, in all of these equipment, right, to make them intelligent, right? So all of those become now new points of attack, right? And you need to basically plan accordingly. So there is a lot of work behind this, and I would say, I mean, you cannot prioritize one over the other. I would say you have to take a holistic approach to cybersecurity and develop your cybersecurity posture, right? I mean the physical, technical, and administrative controls of your cybersecurity program accordingly.
Earlier, you mentioned that these environments are going to introduce new vulnerabilities. How much will that complicate vulnerability management for you guys?
That is a great question. So we need to take into consideration that OT vulnerability is completely different to IT vulnerability, right? So, and of course, you know, it has to be maintained and supported differently. So it is absolutely critical to take that into consideration and to work with partners that that are the right partners for the right technology, right? So there are a number of products and technologies that are good for IT cybersecurity. They may not work for OT cybersecurity, right? So taking into consideration how vulnerabilities are managed in the OT landscape is critical, and it is important to work with vendors. It is important to select the right partners in that space, right? So, of course, we need to take into consideration that maintenance and support of these technologies is different. So, these are technologies that typically are designed with innovation in mind. It's a different paradigm, right? So, information technology is having around for a very, very long time, we have learned over the years on how to protect them and how to manage them. So when it comes to OT, this is a relatively new space, right? So I have not seen a lot of there is not a lot of maturity in this space yet.
Vulnerability management in OT is such a challenge. And I don't know, does this make it simpler at all, or are we still going to struggle with updating processes that can't be turned off, for example, don't have maintenance windows, etc.?
Vulnerability management in OT environments require new policies, new procedures, new technologies, right? So and it require a different approach, right? So for several reasons. So first, the nature of these technologies, many of them are proprietary technologies and are not standardized, right? So additionally to that, there is, as you said before, they need to maintain and support these technologies, right? So in the sense of they have different cycles because they are in the manufacturing floor, right? So coordinating this maintenance, it can be a challenge, right? So definitely you need to take that into consideration when you architect and design your digital ecosystem, right? That there is a need to maintain and support this technology. There is a need to address vulnerabilities, right? So and you have to. It's about planning. It's about technology, and it's about processes, right? So and it's about basically successful execution as well.
As we wrap up here, I think what we're basically saying is that everything is a technology asset. That's probably as much a good thing as it is it may be a negative. I mean, what's your perspective on that?
Everything is a technology asset, and we're going to see more and more. Complexity will increase, right? In the pharma sector, for example. I mean, we were talking about what it is today, but how it's going to evolve, right? So I think that in the future, we're going to see more patient-centric medicine, right? So we're going to see a decentralization of a number of things, like, for example, with additive manufacturing. I mean, you know, maybe the drugs will be 3D printed, right? I mean, in grocery stores, right? So, or even in people's houses, right? So, drugs will evolve and they will incorporate a number of factors that may be unique to a patient, making it more of a patient-centric kind of approach. So, I think that eventually there will be a heavy decentralization of the pharma manufacturing industry. And as we go through that process, we will continue incorporating technology assets across a more diversified, complex, and extended supply chain. And I think that all of that will open the opportunity for new vulnerabilities. All of that will increase complexity, will require the development of new skills and also the new of new technologies to deliver these new patient-centric medicines and of course the development of new cybersecurity technologies to protect patient data and assets across the supply chain.
I think we could have a whole separate discussion about patient-centric medication. That sounds way off in the future to me. That's pretty wild.
Well,
printing out meds at home.
I agree, you know. But if we see how the different components of Industry 4.0 have evolved over the last few months, right? So how far in the future is far in the future, right? So are we talking about 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? If 6 months ago or a year ago you say that we were going to be where we are today, we would have doubt. But hey, we are here today, right? So this whole digital landscape is evolving very, very rapidly. And I think that we need to take into consideration a number of factors we were not taking into consideration before, like explosive growth, right? So,
all right, Juan, I think that's a good place to end the conversation for today. I'm sure we could do a couple more of these podcasts because you gave us a lot to think about and to ponder. But again, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it and all the great insights.
Sounds great. Michael, thank you very much for your time as well. This has been great as usual. I really enjoy collaborating with Clarity. I think that your mission is incredible. So, and I look forward to continue working with you.
Same here. Juan, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, you too. Bye.